not Silent Night. Beginning at the end, Mary's story. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. We will always be with the Lord. So encourage each other with these words. Christmas officially started Thursday at 6 p.m. That's when Walmart opened. Poor Thanksgiving. Now it's only part of a day, right? 281,000 people went through the Mall of America. And people go nuts, right? Let's see. First of all, fist fights between two women in a Walmart in Los Angeles over a Barbie doll. 7 p.m. Thanksgiving. Two men thrown out of a mall in Indianapolis for being aggressive and rowdy. But this is not just an American problem. In Manchester, England, two men got into a fist fight over a TV at 4 minutes to midnight when the sales went on. And as they were fighting, a third guy came in and grabbed the TV. And wow. There's a website that tracks the deaths and significant injuries caused by mean and careless shopping and shoppers. Tally this year is adding another death, bringing the current total in the last 8 years to 8 deaths and 96 injuries. And this year, the shopping was significantly down, as so many people are shopping online now. I guess it's safer. Here at church, we prepare for Christmas a bit differently. We prepare by looking back into the scriptures and seeing what Christmas is actually all about and remembering that and getting oriented right. So to do that, in the next few weeks, we're going to be following the story of Mary. Mary. Yes, Christmas is about Jesus. But you see, Mary had the best view of Christmas. Don't you think? So, we're going to take a look at Christmas through Mary's eyes. And we'll see what Christmas meant to her. We're going to do this a bit backwards. Because we're going to look at what Christmas meant to Mary at the different parts of her life. And so today, we're going to look at the end of her life and see what Christmas meant to her then. Next Sunday, we're going to look at the time of the cross, when Jesus was dying, what Christmas meant for her. And then the week before that, we're going to go to Jesus at the temple at the age of 12. And then the Sunday of Christmas, we're going to see Christmas when Jesus is born through Mary's eyes. You see, Christmas is not just a one-time event. It happens throughout all of these stages in Mary's life. And we're going to see Christmas very differently than just what happened that one silent night. Well, actually, I don't think it was a very silent night. A sermon title comes from a song by Andrew Peterson called Labor of Love. He paints a much more realistic picture of what that night was like. You see, for Mary, Christmas was an intermingling of blessing and pain. Any mothers here? And Christmas was that for her that night and also throughout the rest of her life too. Mingling of blessing and pain. That's life. And I think that's, if we're honest, that's what Christmas is for the rest of us too. We like to talk about the joy of Christmas, and yes, it is that. But there is an intermingling of pain with the Christmas story. So we start at the end. We're taking a look at Mary at the end of her life. What does Christmas look like to her, do you think, then? There's only one verse in the Bible that mentions Mary after Jesus had gone back to glory. What do you think happened to Mary after Jesus went back to glory? Have you ever thought about that? What did she do? Where did she go? Well, the Bible doesn't really say. And honestly, I hadn't thought much about it either. until I was leading a tour in Turkey. And then when we went to Ephesus, we were trying to study the church that Paul had started there. And the guide pointed off in the distance to a church and said, "That's the tomb where Mary is buried." What, Mary? Mary who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. Really? What? I had to go do some research. Well, outside of the Bible, historical accounts of the early church are very sketchy at best. We remember the early church was persecuted and they were small and just it was difficult. And not much survives from the first 300 years of the church's history. Most stories that we do have say that Mary lived for 50 years after giving birth to Jesus. Does that mean that if Mary were about 14 when Jesus was born, she'd be about, I don't know, 48 when he was crucified? And then that would be that she would be 64, 16 years later, when she died. And there are two basic traditions about Mary's death. The Roman Catholic Church is one of them, has one of them. And they teach that when Mary died, her body was taken up to heaven the very day she died. That would mean, then, it seems to me, that there'd be no need for a tomb for Mary's body, right? Okay? Well, the other major tradition about Mary's death is from the Eastern Orthodox tradition, the two oldest traditions of Christianity. And the Eastern Orthodox Church teaches that she died and then was buried. But on the third day after her death and burial, Jesus came and raised her from the dead and then took her back up into glory with him. So, either way, if she had a tomb, it's empty. Okay? Now, one tradition, this is kind of confusing. One tradition claims that she actually died and was buried in Ephesus. Remember, when Jesus was on the cross, he looks down and he says to John, the youngest disciple, "You will take care of Mary." And John does. Well, the story is that John then heads to Ephesus to go be a part of the church there that Paul has started. John was on the island of Patmos. That's because when he was in Ephesus, when he was arrested and put into exile, he was sent to the island of Patmos, which is the nearby island there, a prison, an island of exile, right off the coast of Ephesus. Well, about 100 years ago, a first century home was discovered in Ephesus. And the claim was made that this was the home where Mary and John had lived in Ephesus. And the story then goes that she died there. A chapel you can see here was built over the place in her memory. Now, a stronger story, I would argue, perhaps, is that there is a church in Jerusalem, and that Mary died in Jerusalem, near the Garden of Gethsemane. There's an argument that why did Jesus go to the Garden of Gethsemane so much to pray? Because there was a home nearby that they stayed in. And Mary then stayed in that home after Jesus went back to glory. And although she may have gone to Ephesus, she came back and then lived there and died. And so over this place, there's a cave down below this church. You can see there, steps going on into it now, where Mary lived and died and was buried. So, lots of things that you can try to sort out about what the traditions of Mary are all about. But no matter what you eventually land on or what you think is true, they all end the same. Mary died, but now she's with Jesus. See, Mary saw Christmas when she died. She died in the hope of salvation that Jesus brought. I love that. I love that line of the song. "Mary, did you know? The child you bear will someday," I'm sorry, the child you delivered, thank you, "will one day deliver you." See? She had the hope of Christmas in his resurrection from the dead, and a hope in her own resurrection because of Christmas. We, today, as we get ready for Christmas, we put hope in Christmas because of the resurrection of the dead. Christmas and Easter, you see, are a package deal. The two sides of the same coin. Christmas is about salvation, about resurrection. John 14 says, "Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, well, I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, there you will be too." The holidays can be hard if you're missing some loved ones. It's hard when you have memories of special times with them from past Christmases, and now this year they aren't around anymore. Blessing and pain at Christmas. Part of you misses them terribly around the holidays. But you know what? We can remember that Christmas is about the hope that we have in the resurrection that Jesus was born to give us. What a great day to miss our loved ones. Because Christmas, we can say that we have the joy and the hope of knowing that Jesus came to bring resurrection. Think about how Mary celebrated Christmas. She must have remembered that night vividly, don't you think? And every year when the anniversary of that date came, I think she had lots of memories and visions of what that first Christmas was like. But I think for Mary, some of those visions were also flooded with the terrible visions of watching this baby boy that she gave birth to die on the cross. I'm sure those memories overlapped on her Christmases. Jesus was born, but then Jesus was crucified. And then, after his death, he was raised from the dead. What another flood of images that comes at Christmas. And then Jesus went back to glory. It was amazing, I know. But for Mary, that event must have been very hard. And fraught with grief. She would never get to see him again in this life. It's hard to say goodbye to your child, even if he's an adult. Darlene Wright, a longtime friend of this church, sobbed to me as we were burying her son. She said, "No mother should ever have to bury her child." Some of you here today know that grief. There's nothing like it. So each Christmas, after Jesus was taken up, Mary's thoughts must have been flooded with visions of his birth, of his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. And I'm sure that each year she celebrated Christmas by praying, "I'll see you again someday." What a great way to celebrate Christmas for us too. Our Christmas thoughts are flooded with images of his birth, of his death, of his resurrection, of his ascension, and his promise to come someday and take us to be with him. And we need to celebrate Christmas by praying, "I'll see you someday. And I'll see again someday all those loved ones that I miss so much." 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. "Brothers and sisters, we want you to know about people who have died, so that you won't mourn like others who don't have any hope. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose, so we also believe that God will bring with him those who have died in Jesus." And then talks about the rapture. "First, those who are dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are living and still around will be taken up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. That way, we will always be with the Lord. So encourage each other with these words." We have a hope because we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage one another with these words. This life is not all that there is. Yes, terrible things happen here, but one day Jesus will come back and set everything right. This is the hope and promise that starts at Christmas. When Mary grew old, this has got to be a lot of what she remembered about Christmas. This was important to her. I remember the first Christmas after my father died. I was 18. And Dad loved Christmas, and he was always the center of the celebrations. And that Christmas was hard. But that Christmas was also special. For on that day, our family gathered together and told stories about my father's death that year. And I told how I was... that my dad loved water from the most. He used to live in Tappan, so he'd go to that get water from that well. So I took that water, that crystal clear, ice cold water from that well, and I went to go to Grand Forks. And I remember the twinkle in his eye when he had a sip of that water. After he died, I poured out the rest of that water on his grave in the form of a cross. I said, I'll see you again someday, Dad. And that Christmas, we all told our stories. And my mom finished Christmas celebrations by reminding us that because of the true meaning of Christmas, my father was not dead, but we would see him again. And it was a great Christmas. I wonder what the last thing that Jesus said to Mary was before he ascended back to heaven. It was hard for her, I'm sure. But I bet they hugged. And I bet as they did, he whispered in her ear, I'll see you again someday. And I bet that as Mary got older, she remembered that promise in her ear every Christmas. And as she thought about her own death, I'm sure Christmas gave her the confidence of joy in her resurrection and in being able to see her son again. So what do you think she did in between Christmases? What about those last 16 years of her life? What do you think would have filled her biography? Well, Mary was there when Jesus went back to glory, right? And Matthew records the Great Commission, where Jesus instructs those who were there, go into all the world and make disciples in my name. Acts records some additional words in 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Mary heard that. And then Acts goes on to mention, for the last time, Mary in the Bible. It's a fleeting reference, but as we hear it, listen for what is going on when she's mentioned. Acts 1, 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they entered the city, they went to the upstairs room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, Alphaeus' son, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, James' son, were all united in their devotion to prayer, along with some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So there you have it. It's the last reference to Mary. Jesus gives charge to the disciples to go and be his witnesses, but to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit first. So they go back to Jerusalem, to the upper room, probably the same room where they'd celebrate the Last Supper, and they wait there for this Spirit that Jesus had promised them, and they are praying about it. They are praying, including Mary. Well, the next chapter, Acts 2, talks about how 10 days later, they're still praying. Pray for 10 days. Wow. And the Holy Spirit comes upon everyone in the upper room. There are about 120 there that day, including evidently Mary. And the rest of Acts then tells about how Jesus' followers, propelled by the Holy Spirit, lived out this commission, this sending, to go make disciples and to be his witnesses in all the world. That's what the rest of the book of Acts is all about. So what do you think Mary was doing for the last 16 years of her life? I think she spent it doing what Jesus had called her to do. She adopted his mission and tried to live out what he asked for her to do. I bet she told stories about Christmas and stories about Easter and everything in between. And I bet she told it like nobody else could. She told about how the hope she had in his resurrection and the hope she had in her own resurrection. And I bet that everyone she told experienced an inner joy and a peace and a hope like never before. Joy to the world. Peace on earth. Hope is born. Christmas was fulfilled as Mary spoke. At Christmas, the light was born into the world. That's why we have candlelight service on Christmas Eve. And we all have candles, and the light from the Christ candle is passed and shared. The light of Christmas is then given to each of us, shining in us. And those who have the light then turn and share it with those next to them. Those who have the light share it. What's the best way to celebrate Jesus' birthday? I can tell you it's not fighting over discounted Barbie dolls. I think it has more to do with what Mary did. She shared his light. She told others what he meant to her. She reached out and cared for her neighbor, just like she had told her to do. This year, as we see Christmas through Mary's eyes, let's celebrate by sharing this light with our neighbors. We are the hope of Christ in our world. How can we, you and I, offer hope, encouragement, joy this year for Christmas? Perhaps we can include some acts of kindness or service in as we prepare and decorate and plan. Perhaps we can keep doing what we thought about over Thanksgiving. That is on Mondays, tomorrow is Monday, to do 3 acts of random kindness to our neighbor and those nearby. Small acts, just something to add a blessing to somebody else's life. Perhaps Thursdays can be Thanksgiving Thursdays all year long. And every Thanksgiving, every Thursday, we remember 5 things, naming them. What we're thankful for. Perhaps we can invest in a new relationship that we can then share some light to. Perhaps we can be generous in our giving and top off our giving, adding a little bit more, a little bit extra. How can you do what Jesus
wants done. What would that look like? The mission of Christmas is not so much the stuff that you can get for your loved ones and having that perfect meal or gathering with just the right name card on the table. The mission of Christmas is to be people of hope who let His light shine, to act as His witnesses so that others can see Him in us. Let's start preparing for Christmas right now. Let's plan to celebrate Christmas in the way that Jesus wants His birthday celebrated. That means let's commit to fulfill His mission and work in that. Let's commit to talk about Christmas, to share about our experiences with this Christ, with this Jesus, and what it means for our lives. Let's live as people of the light. Let's do what Jesus wants. Let's pray. Jesus, You are alive, so we can talk to You right now. And You hear us. You've gone back to glory, but Jesus, we know that You can hear us right now. Your presence is here. Your Holy Spirit is given to us too. Oh, Jesus, we come to the celebration of Your birth, and we can get so easily sidetracked. Jesus, we want to celebrate Your birthday the way You call us to. So, Lord, this morning, we ask for Your Holy Spirit. Give us that extra again, God, like You gave those first disciples and women and Mary, that changed what they did and how they operated. Give us that again today, that we would change us too, Lord, that we would live sharing Your light. Give us, God, give us ideas of things that we can be doing. Help us to see people in our lives that need help. Help us see ways that we can lend a hand, do acts of kindness, share joy with others. Give us opportunities, Lord, to talk about You with people in our lives, or at work, at shopping, wherever we go, Lord. Give us opportunities to share. Give us the courage, Your Spirit, to then share, God. Give us opportunities to do small acts of kindness. Give us a person that we can make a new relationship with, Lord. Give us opportunities to give more. Give us awareness of things we're thankful for, Lord. Help us, God, to prepare for Christmas in a way that celebrates Jesus' birthday the way He intends. Help us, Jesus, do what You want done. Amen.